So happy to be here. Toby is with Sandy in, is it New Jersey? Is that what the girls are? They're visiting the girls. And Maryland. Maryland. Yeah, okay. Wonderful time for them. We have a wonderful pastor. I hope that you tell him that. And by the way, I got to tell you this too. Last week I started coughing a little bit about this time, and I went out and to get a glass, drink of water or something. And I was walking out in our fellowship reception area there, and Sandy was at the door on her knees hugging a kid that had just come through the door. And I thought, man, it would be so easy for the pastor's wife to resent being a pastor's wife because it takes so much time away from her, you know, and her life. And here she is on her knees grabbing this kid and hugging him and full of joy. I can't tell you what a blessing that is to have a pastor and wife who are so committed to you. Right? That's right. It's a blessing. We're blessed. I hope you let them know at some point on a regular basis. All right. We're going to talk about Psalm 1 this morning. So you can open up there, but you realize that the Psalms, it's a hymn book, right? It's a Jewish hymn book. And these words on a page were at one point sung. Now, we don't have, they didn't have music notation back in those days. So we don't know what the melodies were, but these were sung songs. It's a hymn. Now, so here's the deal. Here's the first question. If this is Psalm 1, wouldn't you expect Psalm 1 to have something that would be vitally important? I mean, you just wouldn't randomly put Psalm 1 in the first position, right? Unless it was something vitally important. And that's what the case is. That's the case. And so we're going to find out what that is this morning. Now, most of you here, I would say that your lives, your behavior as Christians align with what we're going to discover in Psalm 1. But there are always a few in a congregation who are at different phases of your faith, and so you might learn something new this morning that really no one has ever told you before. So there's something here for all of us. You know, it's just as legitimate for a sermon to be about simply reminding you. If you already know it, it's a good thing to be reminded. If you've never learned it yet, it's a good thing to learn it. So this is Psalm 1, and we're going to go through it and see what we can learn. All right, so let's read it. Now, I'm in a New American Standard version, so I read slow anyway, so if you got a different version, you'll be able to keep up. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. All right. To me, the most interesting thing, well, not the most interesting, but one of the interesting things about this psalm is that it starts in the negative. The very first verse tells you what to avoid, what we shouldn't be doing. And it's actually a poetic triplet. And you see this a lot in Jewish literature. In the Old Testament, and remember, the New Testament was written by Jews too, right? The apostles were Jewish guys. And you see this kind of triplet, faith, hope, faith, hope, and love, that's a triplet. And you're going to see triplets here. Okay, so what's the triplet to avoid? There is, actually, there are three personalities to avoid. There's the wicked person, right? How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Now, wicked people are those who are just genuinely bent on evil. I mean, these people have a predisposition to evil. That's a wicked person. Avoid them. Nor stand in the path of sinners. Now, we're all sinners. But in this context, what we're talking about is a person who has no care for righteousness. It's just not part of their vocabulary. It's not part of the way they see the world to be oriented to what is right. And in this case, the Jewish law. But that to have a disposition that just has no concern for what is right, that would be the sinner in this particular circumstance. I understand we're all sinners, but this is a particular person with a particular disposition. Nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Now, scoffer would be a person who has no regard for authority. And this kind of a person is celebrated in our pop culture today, right? I mean, we celebrate this in hip-hop. We celebrate it in the movies. People who scoff at authority, who thumb their nose at it. Anyone who would be an authority, including Jesus Christ, of course. So here are three personalities to avoid. The wicked person, the sinner, and the scoffer. And the lesson simply is, don't go there. And you'll notice that there are three different positions. There are three different postures, so to speak. There's walking, there's standing, and there's sitting. That about covers it, except for lying down. But the point of this, the poetic point is, don't even go there. Avoid it. All right, enough for verse 1. Verse 2, we turn to the positive. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now, if you look at a Jewish Bible and read this, here's what this will say. Verse 2, but his delight is in the Torah of Adonai. Okay? The Torah is the first five books of the Bible. And Adonai is simply the Jewish word for Lord. And here we're talking about specifically the law. And even to this day, if you're a Jewish boy or girl, you are taught by rote memory the Torah. And then when it comes to age 12 and you have a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah, and that's celebrated in your life, you stand in front of your mom and dad, grandpas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, and all your friends, and you recite large passages of the Torah, memorized. And the Jewish kids do this for years in preparation. The Torah is central to the Jewish faith. In the same way, the Scripture is central to our faith. That's the message this morning. Now, the interesting thing is, this person is to delight in it. Now, you have in your hand, or somewhere around you now, a little Hershey's Kiss. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, you know what? I want you to understand what it is to delight in the Scripture. How can I communicate this? And I thought, chocolate. Because I'm sure there's some weirdos in here who don't delight in chocolate, but most of us do, okay? So what I want you to do now is we're going to take a break, open that up, and you savor that little piece of chocolate. And delight in it. Delight, oh, I love chocolate. I can't eat it because I won't be able to talk. That is what this person is doing with regard to the law or the Scripture. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Now, I have walked with Christ for quite a while. I started really seriously seeking the Lord when I was 18 years old. And I'm not 18 anymore. I've been around a while. And I've been fortunate to observe a lot of people come into the faith, convert. And it's my observation that when a person comes into the faith and they have a significant appetite for the Scripture, that person is going to walk very successfully with Christ. But I also have observed people who go through a conversion process and are baptized, and they never quite get this delight about the Word of God, and that always concerns me. Now, I was in the Air Force for 4 years, and at one station, I was in the same barracks with the Special Forces, and those guys are nuts. But the interesting thing was, there was a buddy of mine who converted, became a Christian, and for the next many weeks, you could not find that guy without a New Testament in his hand. Every spare moment, he was reading it. And I thought, that guy got it. That guy is going to walk with Christ because our faith has a direct connection with the Scripture. He read the New Testament in 19 days, which, you know, I've never read the New Testament in 19 days. He devoured it. And that's what you find in a really healthy conversion, especially among adults, is it is a Holy Spirit thing. I can't explain it. People just get hungry for the Scripture. They delight in it. Have you ever delighted in the Word of God? You need to ask yourself this. And I've walked with Christ for a long time, and I can tell you there have been seasons of my life when I didn't delight in it. And it was just, I guess I should spend some time reading the Scripture, but I just don't delight in it. If that's going on in your season of life, you need to understand that's not the way it's supposed to be. And I'm here to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage all of us to be involved with this Scripture. Delight in it. See if I've gotten through all my notes here. Yeah, we got the Kershey's kiss. Okay. So here's the application for this morning. I won't be done, but you can leave after this. There is a direct connection between the Word of God in your life and your success as a follower of Jesus Christ. You cannot escape this fact that in order to successfully follow Jesus Christ, you need a continual diet of the Scripture. I don't know how else to say it simply. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. We live in a day and age without moral compass. The Scripture is your encouragement, it's your knowledge of Jesus Christ, and it's your moral compass. It's your authority for who you are as a Christian. What's going to be your authority? Science? A political party? A philosophy? You just going to make it up as you go? The emotion of the moment? We've seen a lot of that in the past couple of weeks. The Scripture is to be your guide. This is not a complicated thing. It doesn't take a lot of intelligence. If it took intelligence to be a Christian, I couldn't qualify because I'm not that smart. It doesn't take a lot of intelligence. It takes faithfulness. And it does require knowledge of the Scripture. But you get that every week, right here, and hopefully by reading it. Fortunately, we're in a literate society. There are many societies that aren't. Pretty simple message in this psalm, but it's so important, and it's the reason it's Psalm 1. Think about that. This is the lesson of Psalm 1. The law is central if we're speaking to Jews. The Scripture is central if we're speaking to Christians. It's Psalm 1, folks. In the New Testament, Let me tell you a little bit about my own story. I came to Christ as a result of a conversation on a sidewalk outside my barracks one night. A complete stranger walks up to me and engages me in conversation. He says, "If you were to die tonight, what would happen to you?" And I tell him, "I'd go to heaven. I'm an American." Well, you know, I'm kind of half kidding, but I was half serious. And he pulled out a New Testament out of his back pocket, and he showed me Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. By the way, we'll be back in Ephesians with Tony next week. Come on back. But that guy had an impact on my life, and we began to meet two or three times a week for Bible study, and I began to walk around with him on the base and talk to people about my faith. And he taught me an awful lot. But one of the things he made me do was begin to memorize Scripture. And in the first 3 or 4 years of my life as a Christian walking with Christ, I memorized volumes of Scripture. I memorized Colossians. I memorized James. I memorized Sermon on the Mount, about 1,000 other verses. And it was so easy. I was 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. I mean, I could read the Scripture once or twice and I'd have it memorized. But now it's like Dave. He gets up here and he can't even remember three names. I'm really hitting on him. Yeah, there you see, Dave. When you get old, that doesn't happen. So if you're young, okay, so here's a challenge to the parents. Here's a challenge to parents with particularly young children. Have your kids memorize a Scripture. They're at breakfast before school. You know, put it on 3x5 cards and every day review the Scripture. And if you need a list, maybe we ought to publish a list. Maybe our curriculum should involve Scripture memory for our kids. But you need to help your kids because there's no other guide. There's no compass in our world. You're casting them like a ship without an oar into the world if you're not putting this in their hearts. They're, you know, what are they going to do? Science? That's not a rudder. I just get this image. Many years ago, I read Moby Dick. There is a scene, a chapter in Moby Dick that tells this story. They're out on the ship in the middle of the ocean, and they see a pod of whales is spotted. They let down two skiffs off the ship, and the men are rowing, and they're rowing. They might have to row a mile to catch up with the pod. And at some point, the guy at the bow of the ship takes his spear and drives it into the fish. And the fish goes into the depths. And this is called a Nantucket sleigh ride. So now these guys are skipping across the waves following this whale who they've hooked. And eventually this thing becomes exhausted and stops and comes up because it has to breathe, right? And that's how they kill the whale. Well, they've killed the whale, but now they're in the dark. And they're miles away from their ship. So what do? Well, they carry a lantern with them. And on one of the rows, on one of the oars, they put that lantern up. And they hope and pray that their ship will see them. Well, it turns out, these guys don't get spotted, and now they're adrift. That's what you're doing to your kids if you don't give them this. Do you understand? They're in the middle of a dark world without hope. And that's Herman Melville's message, by the way, in Moby Dick. This is serious. It's Psalm 1 for a reason, brothers and sisters. And there's a result. Let's look at the result. Verse 3, "And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers." That's what you want for your child, and that's what you want for you. And that's what God wants for you. Prosperity, success. Yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Don't ask me how this works. I have seen it hundreds of times in many different lives, but when a young man or a young woman who turn, I don't care what they've been doing in their life, when they turn their life to Christ and begin to follow Him, prosperity happens. Don't ask me why that is. I can't explain it. But suddenly they begin to prosper. And it can even be monetarily, but it doesn't have to be monetarily. They become happy people. They become industrious people. They begin to succeed in life. That is a spiritual thing that I can't explain. You know, Paul calls it the gospel a mystery. That's part of the mystery. How does God bless us? You know, it just, things just come together. God blesses people who follow His law. It's a mystery. And I mean that sincerely. I don't understand it. But God wants us, God is in the tree business. He's not here to make mushrooms. Okay? Mushroom you can kind of pluck up, boop. Tell you about trees. This is my first lesson in trees. When I was a little boy, my grandpa and grandma had a farm in western Indiana, and every summer, my brother and I, brothers, mom's sitting right there, they wanted to get rid of the boys. So anyway, we spent a week with grandpa and grandma. So one time, grandpa was clearing a field, and there was a big tree, and the only thing left when we got there was a stump. But then when mom and dad would come for the weekend, grandpa always had a bunch of things that he needed help with, and dad, you know, we'd do stuff on the weekend when they came to pick up the boys. So in order to get rid of this stump, we were going to blow it with dynamite. Did you know that back then you could go to the hardware store and buy dynamite? Did you know that? This is probably, you know, I was probably 7 or 8, 9 years old. This is the mid-60s. Can you imagine going to Ace Hardware and buying dynamite? But you could do it back then. That's where you got the dynamite. You'd go down the hardware store. So I can still remember Grandpa and Dad talking about, well, how much dynamite we're going to put under this stump. And they decided on a stick and a half, because I can remember my dad cutting a stick of dynamite in half, and they put a stick in, and they put the cap in it, they put the fuse in the cap, and the fuse was about this long, and we lit the fuse, and we began to run to the pickup truck to hide behind it. And we waited. And we waited a little more, and suddenly, kablooey. And it was like this. And the dirt falling all around us. Listen, He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. That was a tree that was firmly planted. That was no mushroom. It took a stick and a half of dynamite to blow that stump out. That's you if you do this. And that's the kind of child you want, too. And that's, here it is right here. Don't ask me how it works. It's a mystery. You get that kid focused on this, and you'll grow a tree and not a mushroom. So that's the first result. And then you go to verse 4, the wicked are not so. I've always felt that that'd be a great title for a Hollywood movie, The Wicked or Not So, or Not So the Wicked, you know. It could be a great story. The wicked are not so, they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Now, at one point, a long time ago, I had the privilege of traveling in Africa. And I was there at harvest time, and I watched the women. It's always the women, you know. They had a big pile of grain on the threshing floor, and they would beat this grain, and then they'd pick it up in a big pan, and they'd throw the grain up in the air, and it'd fall right back on the pile. But going off in the wind would be the chaff. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff. That's your life if you don't do this. You understand? This is your children. This is your life If you pay attention to the wicked, if you walk in the path of sinners and sit in a seat of scoffers, chaff. Remember, it's Psalm 1 for a reason. But they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I'm done. I don't feel like I need to say anymore. I hope you get the message. The message is right here, right? It's not hard. It's not hard to understand. It's, you know, to develop a lifestyle that's centered on this, that's the key. And that's why we have church. And that's why we have home groups. You need to be part of a home group if you're not. You need that encouragement. You ready to pray? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this message from Psalm 1. Help us to be people who avoid the wicked and walk in the delight of your law, the delight of the scripture. Lord, we don't understand it. Most of it's a mystery to us. We're ignorant. We need to be taught. Lord, help us to be open. Help us to delight in it. Help us not resent it. Help us to actually look forward every day to opening your scripture and delighting in it and knowing that prosperity comes from it, not only for us, but for our community and our children. Thank you for this reminder. Lord, I want to pray for those in our congregation who have various struggles right now. And we all know these names. Lord, we lift them up. There's sickness. There's discouragement. There's financial problems. There's family problems. Lord, we need you. We need you among us. We praise you. We give you honor. We thank you for our salvation, which comes freely through Jesus Christ. Amen.